inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we focus on buttercups, the good, the bad, and the pretty. And with us on the line is Master Gardener Ed Byarsky. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Matt.
So first of all, let's tackle the kind of the nasty buttercups. Those are not native to Alaska, is that right?
These are, yeah, the most prominent ones that we see blooming bright yellow, so cheerful all over, are European buttercups. Just like dandelions, they were brought in, who knows, by some of those early Europeans. They got to watch out for that stuff. There are some native buttercups here also which have much smaller flowers, fairly insignificant. So it's the European buttercups that are the real pest, taking over, wanting to take over the garden by runners, and they run like strawberries do, but also their seeds are incredibly durable and long-lasting in the soil. So that's the other problem. They are very successful.
How do you get rid of them?
We have to keep pulling them, and of course you got to dig the roots out as much as possible and get rid of them that way. Again, the challenge is because if they've gone to seed, and it doesn't take long, those seeds are in the ground. So if we can avoid turning the soil as much, less cultivation or mulch, try to maintain a mulch on the soil. Unfortunately, of course, they can seed themselves or get transferred and grow in bark mulch or even in gravel mulch and on top of landscaping fabric. And then the roots go through that stuff, and then they are really challenging to get out. So it's an ongoing battle.
Okay, now there's some nice ones, and I guess we got to stake some up, though, right?
There's lots. There's lots of our favorite garden plants. One of the most common ones are the globe flowers or Trolleus. Many of them look like buttercups, but are more restrained and form nice, tidy clumps. But then the clematis and delphiniums, monk's hood, columbines, and even peonies are all in the buttercup family. Beautiful stuff. But yes, as you mentioned, staking, with the amount of rain and wind that we've had, peonies and delphiniums particularly need staking to keep them up. And I mean, we use everything from 1x1s and 1x2 wooden stakes. There's lots of wire baskets and trellises that you can use. And honestly, just good old alder sticks. We've got a fairly unending supply of alder around us, and they make cut them off, leave some of the side branches on them for sticking them in the ground, and use some lightweight twine to tie up our delphiniums so that we can enjoy them when they come out to flower, because otherwise, at least for me, it seems like when the rains come, when they're in full bloom, then I am giving away armloads of delphinium stalks to friends. They're a great cut flower. They really are, but it'd be nice to just see them, enjoy them in the garden, standing tall and proud.
Okay, and should we be doing any feeding at this point?
Certainly we can. There is still time for that. Giving them a little bit of additional slow-release organic fertilizers, gently scratching around them. This is going to benefit the peonies and most of the other ones. The other thing we can start looking for, particularly on the columbines, is that they're easy to save seed and start from seed. So once those, they have these little interesting five seed pods from each flower, and with these little tiny shiny black seeds, so they're really easy to save seeds once those seed pods turn brown. So then we can have lots more, and they are a hummingbird favorite with their long spurs. So again, planting more columbines is a great thing to do in the garden for the hummingbirds.
Okay, Ed Byarsky, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt.
Ed Byarsky, Master Gardener, with this week's edition of Garden Talk, a weekly feature here on KTOO Juneau.
Pulling weeds.
It's 9 minutes before 8 o'clock.